Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, I'm going to share a story that I read about and that I frequently come back to in my mind. And that this takes place a few years before the death of Marlon Brando.
Okay. This is a fictional story or nonfiction?
This is apparently a true story, according to Ed Begley Jr.
Okay.
So it was a few years before Brando's death, back in who died in 2004. Of course, everyone's familiar with Brando for The Godfather, Apocalypse Now, countless other films.
Dr. Moreau's Island.
Yes. And, I mean...
In a bad way.
Yeah, he was a crazy man. And he was an incredibly talented actor. But he was in some really bad films, as well as some really good ones. He was in some really scandalous films. I mean, he was a perfect Hollywood icon in every respect. But a few years before he died, he summoned actor environmentalist Ed Begley Jr. to his Mulholland Drive estate. And according to Begley, Brando wanted some feedback on a scheme to power his home with electric eels. And I guess he contacted Begley out of the blue because Begley was and still is into all sorts of green energy, environmentalism, and would seem like the kind of guy you would ask about this. But Begley was, of course, dumbfounded by this because he's not an advocate of powering your house with electric eels. So he told Brando, well, I'm not sure that can be done. I've never heard of anybody doing that. And according to Ed Begley Jr., Brando grumbled, "Everything's no with you," and then dismissed him.
You want to know what else was no with Ed Begley Jr. that he was so disappointed in him for?
Yeah, was it weekly calls to say, all right, how about this? How about woodchucks? Can woodchucks power my house? And it's like, I don't think that's possible. It's like, oh, you won't allow anything, Begley. What's the matter with you? You're such a negative force in my life.
Ah, Begley. You know, there's an aquarium in Japan that actually used electric eels to power a Christmas tree.
I've seen this. The video is pretty impressive. Of course, one of the things here, and ultimately, the reason that Begley was not able to say yes to Mr. Brando is that it's only powering that Christmas tree in bursts.
Right.
It's capable of the electric eel, which is actually not an eel, but a type of kind of a relative of the catfish. can pump out an alarming amount of electricity, but in short bursts, because this has evolved as a means of, or ultimately evolved as a means for the electric eel to stun prey or potential predators, not to power Christmas tree lights or fancy Hollywood homes.
Oh, well. You know, you can't blame him for thinking it up.
Right. I mean, humans have been messing around with electric fish for quite some time.
It's true. Roman Emperor Charles V reputedly died from indigestion after eating an eel pie. So someone thought that that was a good idea to have a little electric eel pie.
I've not heard that one.
Yeah. The Dutch Society of Sciences published a set of treatises in 1762 espousing the use of electric eels to cure headache pain.
Yeah, I read that the ancient Egyptian used the torpedo, an electric marine ray, in an early form of electrotherapy to treat epilepsy.
I give props to that one a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, you know, they were sort of onto something there.
Yeah, I like that one. I could see that one picking back up again. You know, animal rights issues notwithstanding.
I was thinking a post-apocalyptic scenario in which electric eels and humans survived.
Oh, yeah. And you carry one around in a tank on your back. Another interesting case, in Victorian times, parties were apparently organized and guests would form a chain to experience the shock of an electric fish. Because there is something marvelous about this. Here is this animal, this fish, this simple fish.
Yeah.
And it is producing this product that powers our world.
That's what I love about the Victorian age, is I feel like they sort of finally peeled up their eyelids or had enough technology and knowledge that they were really starting to look at biology.
Yeah.
And particularly looking at creatures in the sea and finding out how wonderful and majestic and weird they were. So I can only imagine the sort of excitement that must have been.
You know, where is it? We have our steampunk and various related punks. Where is our electric eel punk? That could be a whole setting. Victorian individuals walking around, a tank on their back with an electric eel in it or two, somehow empowering their gadgets.
There you go. We also have Benjamin Franklin and other pioneering scientists using eels, electric eels, to learn about electricity. So we can thank electric eels.
So what we're talking about here are electrogenic organisms. And it's interesting, the electric eel gets most of the credit because it is the most impressive example of an electrogenic organism. But we actually see quite a few fish with this power. Now, there are more than 30,000 total fish species out there in the world, but upwards of 350 are electrogenic.
Right, so they're not that many. However, here in the Amazon, then you're going to see many more of them, and it's sort of a common thing. But across the board, there are not a ton of them.
But there are six different lineages, I believe. So it's the kind of thing that it's not like it involved in one place. It involved convergently in different spots across the globe.
Yeah. Now, they generate their own electrical field using a specialized organ. And as you say, this is called electrogenic. And then fish that can detect electric fields are called electroreceptive. Now, that doesn't mean that because they're electroreceptive, they're actually electrogenic. This is sort of like, you know, a test right here. It's not, you know, that doesn't automatically make that. It just means that they are a little bit more receptive to that field.
Yeah, so we have this passive electroreception, which evolves so that fish could detect weak, naturally occurring bioelectric signals, in their aquatic environments. And according to Mark E. Nelson in Current Biology, electrogenic organs, which we're going to talk about here, they properly originated with a set of highly active skeletal muscles that generated sufficient electrical activity to be detectable by the fish's own electroreceptors. And then this is used then for navigation and communication, which we still see as being the primary purpose in a lot of electric fish. But then in some cases, this evolves into a strong electric field that's used by strong electric fish to stun prey and or protect themselves. So we see this evolution of this electric potential in these creatures. And it's important to remember that we're ultimately talking about the evolution of muscle tissue here. And even in a simple human, our muscles are bioelectric, essentially. So it's not like this is something that just came out of the blue, that's some sort of a magical property. It's just the escalation of the bioelectric nature of muscle tissue itself.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a bit about how this actually works. But I wanted to throw out there that some strongly electric fish are found in the oceans, including the electric stargazer, also called Astroscopus, and certain skates and rays, such as the torpedo ray. You also have freshwater habitats, including the South American electric eel, Electrophorus, and the African electric catfish, Metapetrus. Most weakly electric fish are found in freshwater rivers of Africa and South America, and some species of marine skates and rays are also weakly electric. So they're widely dispersed.
Yeah, some of the weaker electric fish are actually really interesting, and I think are often overlooked. For instance, there's Peter's elephant nose fish that has this weird little almost looks like a little elephant trunk or some sort of extra long nose, but it's not a nose. It's a sensitive mouth extension covered with electroreceptors, and the creature has poor eyesight, and it uses a weak electric field which it generates with these specialized cells to find food, navigate all in this dark environment.
Yeah, and I thought that was interesting that it used it in place of eyes to do that, as well as to communicate sometimes like sort of mating signals.
Yeah, mating signals play heavily into its usage among these weaker electric fish. And just to put a voltage on these more powerful electric fish that we're talking about here, the electric eel, you generally see 600 volts, sometimes as high as 650.
Yeah.
The electric catfish that you mentioned, generally up to 350 volts, and electric rays, of which there are 69 species, 8 to 220 volts.
Yeah, now those electric eels, 600 volts, that's five times the power of a standard U.S. wall socket.
Wow.
So if anybody has ever, as a child, or even as an adult, put your finger in a wall socket or put like a Christmas ornament in there, then you can sort of understand the sort of jolt that you would get on the other side of that. In fact, that would pretty much like lay out a human being for a little while.
Yeah. Now we're talking, it can be a big creature. We're talking 6 to 8 feet in length, but still I think it's easy to forget that they do pack that much of a punch. It's easy to think, oh, electric fish. How powerful could it be? How much electricity could a fish generate? And it basically comes out to what, 10 volts per foot of fish?
Yeah, according to Michael Sussman, who directs the Biotechnology Center at the University of Wisconsin, a 6-foot-long electric eel is basically, I love this description, a 6-inch fish attached to a 5.5-foot cattle prod. And that all those intestines and stomachs and all that stuff is right up close to the head. So the rest of the electric eel is essentially an electric organ. It's like 90% of that electric eel's weight is the electric organ.
Yeah, I love the way you put that. Like basically 6-inch fish with a bunch of electricity producing meat attached to it. This was something that I recently did a blog post about, the Monster of the Week post about the character Blanka from the Street Fighter games, which is kind of this green ape that has the ability to shock.
An aquatic ape?
That's my theory, is because you would have to be aquatic, because you only see this kind of, you only see electrogenic behavior in aquatic creatures. They need it, they need the water as a conductor.
Yeah.
But he produces this shock. And so I was trying to sort of do the math. I was thinking, well, how much, if an eel is doing, 10 volts per foot, then how much electricity would a man-sized ape creature generate? But it kind of breaks down when you realize, all right, well, look how muscular this ape is. Like, how much spare tissue does a Blanka have for, the generation of electricity and to simply waste or spend on these specialized cells? Not that much. So, believe it or not, it's really difficult to break down the hard science of how this ridiculous creature from a video game would work.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Still interesting, and I think a sort of view into how this has become so specialized. And I wanted just to mention that the organ's tissue is a lot like muscle, but it can't contract, all right? And we'll talk more about that in a second. The cells are big, and they have all sorts of features that let them pump out electricity without shocking the fish. And the cells are stacked together like batteries in a flashlight, firing simultaneously. So that kind of gives you an idea of that process that's happening internally.
Yeah, the crazy thing about the electric eel is that it is kind of, I mean, it's a really souped up creature. Like, it's spent so, mm-hmm. so much of its biology is committed to this, offensive defensive mechanism, but it has kind of made it almost undefeatable. I mean, it's really not a threatened organism, you know, except by humans who have removed themselves from the game entirely for the most part.
Yeah, I like that idea of souped up like a monster truck, but instead of, you know, giant wheels, we're talking about like giant stacked up batteries.
Yeah.
Because as you had said, all muscle cells have that electrical potential, and, you know, you just have a simple contraction of a muscle and you get a little bit of voltage. But Lindsay Traeger, a biologist who works in Sussman's lab, says that if you remove the ability of the muscle cell to contract, as we say, this happens in electric eels, and you change the distribution of proteins in the cell membrane, now all they do is push ions across a membrane to create a massive flow of positive charge. And they've been able to do this because they've had about 100 million years to specialize these muscle cells into larger cells, which are called electrocytes.
Now, the whole, you know, they're pumping out this electricity, and you mentioned how they largely avoid shocking themselves. This was really fascinating. According to Mark E. Nelson in Current Biology, the strongly electric fish, such as the electric eel, they do have these layers of adipose and connective tissue that help electrically insulate their vital organs.
Mm-hmm.
And the electric currents that they produce by their discharge, they tend to follow the path of least resistance. So they flow around rather than through these tissues. But researchers have observed electric eels sometimes twitching in response to their own discharge. So it's not perfect. There's like sometimes those electrical currents that they're generating are going to tweak their own tissue. And the fine timing of this mechanism is pretty amazing. There's a When researchers have looked at electric fish, they found that the pacemaker nucleus that controls the timing of the electric organ discharges is one of the most temporarily precise biological oscillators ever measured. So they, in a sense, electric fish, like the electric eel, very precise timekeepers, and they have pretty large brain to body size ratios. So some researchers speculate these are pretty smart creatures.
Yeah, that's interesting that adipose, that fat, is helping again as the insulation.
Yeah.
Sussman and other scientists, they decided that they wanted to figure out how this kind of happened as much as they could, right?
Right.
And they analyzed all the genes of the electric eel, and then they looked at gene activity in other electric fishes or fish from unrelated families, and they found that six different species evolved independent systems for electric organs using the same genetic toolbox. So we're talking about the same set of 30 genes, and if I'm understanding this correctly, it's that each of these six species were, in a way, recreating the wheel for themselves, as opposed to using a blueprint, which I thought was surprising, because usually when we think about evolution, we think about evolution using that blueprint because it's much easier. And for instance, you know, we've got our five fingers, and you'll see this structure of bones and fingers and arms in many mammals
mm-hmm.
over and over again. So that was very interesting to know that there's a more of a rogue Lego approach on this, allowing each species to kind of tweak their electric organs as needed.
So what does this mean for the future? Because I know that out there listening to us right now, Brando's ghost wants to know when electric eels are really going to help out around the house or even inside the human body, right? So, and it, you know, it turns out that researchers are looking into this. Researchers from Yale University and the National Institute of Standards and Technology, they actually envision synthetic eel cells with improved energy efficiency bundled all together in a bio battery. We're not yet quite to the point where we could build artificial versions of complex cells, but the researchers have created a simplified battery based on the principles of the electric eel. Two artificial cells, each containing a salt solution with a lipid wall. If the salt concentrations are different, then poking the cells produces a slight charge. So, laying the groundwork for the future of an electric eel-ish bio battery. I hope they call it a Brando battery.
Yeah. So that lipid wall, I guess, would be the thing that insulates it, right? Like the adipose mm-hmm. tissue.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, very cool.
And then another possible use for this, and this comes from biologist Lindsay Traeger, who is a part of that study we were discussing earlier to look at the genome of mm-hmm. the electric eel. According to her, we may reach the day where we could actually have little electric organs built into, say, a pacemaker mm-hmm. to power it inside the human body. So again, it's kind of the bio battery principle, except taking place with at a much smaller scale inside the human body as a part of a pacemaker or other implanted medical device.
And the reason you'd want to do this is that means that you don't have to undergo all these invasive procedures to replace those batteries or that pacemaker, ideally, right? And I love this idea. I just can't quite square it yet. Like, I'm thinking about this organ enfolding the pacemaker, but it's, you know, it's been engineered to be this electric organ coexisting in a human body where there are weak electric fields. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't quite see how that would work yet.
Yeah, because you really have to... In creating a bioelectric cybernetic organ, you really have to then take into account that you're implanting it into a human, which is a still essentially a bioelectric organism itself. And how do you square all of that away? It seems to get pretty complicated pretty fast. But, I mean, we're already putting battery-powered electronic devices inside a human body, so.
So, eventually, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll leave it to the scientists.
And I think it's promising science. So, Mr. Brando, wherever you are, Ed Begley Jr. may say no, but we're going to go ahead and give a tentative yes on this issue.
All right. Do you guys have thoughts on this? Have you ever seen an electric eel in person? Have you been shocked by one? Do you throw Victorian retro parties and try this party trick out? Let us know.
And if, indeed, if you have any examples of electric eel punk literature, films, comic books, etc., I'd love to know about it because I feel like that is a largely ignored area of possibility there. So, where can you find us? Where can you look up all of our podcasts, our videos, our blog posts, etc.? You can find us at stufftoblowyourmind.com. That is the homepage. That's the mothership. You'll also find links out to our various social media accounts there, including Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, our YouTube account, which is Mind Stuff Show. And there is still an old-fashioned way to get in touch with us. So what can they do, Julie, if they want to hook the old computer up to an electric eel and blast out an email?
Well, if you do that successfully, and I hope that you do, you can send that email to blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.